Hello everyone, I'm Rob Warner.
And I'm Elliot Jackson.
And this is Just Ride from Red Bull. Let's go.
She said she didn't crash, but she looks like she did. I'm riding around the world. I'm not doing this to be alone.
Right.
You know, I'm doing it because I want to see these places and meet people. And like, yeah, I want to break a record, but I feel like there's so much like richness to this. Threw up all down the side of my bike. And I was like, this is insane, but I'm not going to stop pedaling. I'll just keep going. Like,
what?
As I'm like throwing up off the side of my bike.
It takes a lot to make me speechless, but right now, I almost know. I'm trying to take it all in. Hello and welcome, everybody, to episode 6 of series 2 of Red Bull Just Ride. I'm Rob Warner.
And I'm Elliot Jackson. That was smooth.
That was good.
So we're coming to you live from the Sea Otter Mountain Bike Festival. For everyone that doesn't know, it's probably the biggest mountain bike festival in the world.
Looks like it. Absolutely colossal.
It's at a road raceway. It's called the Laguna Seca. And so normally you would have, you know, they had MotoGP here like in the past, but what they do is they bring all these vendors in. So you have the SRAMs and Shimanos and, you know, all the little vendors, you know, little pop-ups and things like that. Like,
someone told me there's over 1,000 vendors there,
which is insane.
Yeah.
They have like a full map and everything. And one of the things that comes out of that is that they bring in all the athletes. And so they have the Lifetime Grand Prix, so the biggest gravel race, Payson. I think he got 7th here.
He was 7th, yeah. He said he was quite happy with that on his Instagram.
Yeah, because I think last year he had a nightmare.
Yeah. He also said that on his Instagram.
Yeah. I saw him and he was like, yeah, like I think anything was better than last year.
Yeah. He said he'd been stressed about it. So, you know, but like you say, it's just a celebration of, not mountain biking, of cycling.
Yeah, for sure.
Gravel, road races, right? Huge road races. Tonight is dual slalom. Tomorrow there's the downhill. I haven't been here since... I worked out, actually. I saw my old mechanic, John Dawson, here yesterday. One of the big dogs at SRAM now.
Well, he was your mechanic?
He was my mechanic on Giant Bicycles, the poor fella. He's got some stories to tell. And he said we came here twice, 96 and 97, with a Giant factory team. And I raced that dual slalom and that downhill. I felt the pain of the pedaling on the downhill.
Well, that's the thing, right? Is because you have all of these athletes, like literally, like you said, you were one of the premier athletes and you were coming to Sea Otter. The vertical drop here couldn't be more than 200 feet.
It wasn't quite my kind of downhill race. You did need to pedal a lot, as I remember, and I definitely signed off 3 pedal strokes in and cruised down to a nice 75th finish.
For us mountain bikers, the premier event really is the, or I guess I should say downhillers, it's the dual slalom. And so you have like this combination of athletes. Like now you have a Kyle Strait who races it. He actually helps build the course.
Yeah.
So everyone probably knows.
Which is why it's so good.
Yeah, for sure. And like everyone probably knows him from Red Bull Rampage, you know, winning, you know, getting these podiums. And then you have some of the current World Cup racers and then some of the current Enduro World Series.
Bernd Kerr's going to be going in it tonight.
Yeah.
So that'll be good. I mean, the slalom's brilliant, isn't it? It's different. And this is like the biggest dual slalom on the planet.
Yeah.
It's actually a thing.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, for sure. And then, you know, you also have roads. So they have like a circuit race around the track. They have a larger road race. You know, they go out to the coast and things. So it is. It's like you said, it's a celebration of cycling. We're here recording the podcast, hanging out, seeing people.
Having a great time in Monterey, in the Californian sun, eating Denny's for breakfast every single day I'm here.
The only thing you see on Rob's Instagram is a couple of tints and then Denny's.
All-American slam. I can't get enough of those hash browns. I love it. It's great. It's actually my main motivation for coming to America.
The only time you see Rob wake up before 10 a.m. is when there's a Denny's.
Yeah. And I'm in America. And it's actually like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So it's a win-win situation for me.
Oh my God. I love it. So we've come off like a big block. We're here. We're both here at Sea Otter. And then we have a couple other things coming up. What's going on in the next couple of weeks, Rob?
Well, I mean, there's the small matter of Fort Williams coming up next week. I'm not going to be there. I don't think you're going either. I'm going to Chur in Switzerland, Nino's hometown, for an I think it's actually pronounced Ukeke. Ukeke. Sure. Bike race, a series, European series, Swiss series, mate, with, you know, Matthias Flückiger, Nino's in there, Ralph Naif organised it. So, you know, and they're all HC races, Hoyt Cup races, the one below a World Cup. But when you're in Switzerland, the level is easily equal to any World Cup because most of the best riders in the world come from there. So I'm actually, do you know what? I'm really, really looking forward to commentating. And I'm really looking forward to commentating some cross country. I haven't done it for a while, and it's a very different commentary. And yeah, it's going to be. I need to do it. I feel like I'm losing my practice a little bit, so I can't wait to get in there. Yeah, it's going to be great. I'm going to try and tick all the boxes of good commentary.
Yeah, I know. I love it. It's been cool for us this year because we've done like Red Bull has a bunch of really nice properties now, right?
Yeah.
Like they're a big supporter of that series. Yeah. You know, we've done the Hardline, we've done Crankworx. We know we did all the Cerro Bajos.
Not long till the next Hardline either in Wales, new course. I know we've been talking about it a bit, but the amp levels are going up on that. The more we hear about it, the new track's going to be bonkers from what we can gather. So yeah. Lots coming still lots to look forward to this year.
Yeah. You heard it here from the director of sport.
Woo! That's me. That is me.
Okay, so we spoke to today's guest, Lael, back in January, but we've held this back until now because next month she sets off on quite an incredible journey. Starting in Chicago, she will ride right around the globe, finishing in Chicago, a new world record, hopefully setting a new world record time of 110 days.
Around the world, on a bike, in 110 days. Lael, good luck. Good luck with that. And you know what? After talking to her, she's definitely the sort of character who is tenacious enough to pull that off. No doubt. Incredible.
Oh, man. You guys are going to absolutely love this. Let's get right into it. Let's hear from Lael.
So today we're joined by an absolute icon of the ultra endurance scene. She's won pretty much every ultra event that you can name. And in 2024, she's planning to ride around the world. Yes, 18,000 miles in 110 days, smashing the women's world record in the process. We can't wait to hear about it. It's our pleasure, to welcome the legendary Lael Wilcox to Just Ride. Hello, Lael. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for that. Nice to be here.
Oh, great. And where are you in the world at the moment?
I'm in Anchorage, Alaska. So I got up here a couple days ago and it's where I grew up and it's freezing.
How does that work? How do you trade? Like, do you ride? How cold is it? I have so many questions.
Okay. So it's yesterday was my first day riding and it was negative 25 Celsius. I think the coldest we saw was negative 12 Fahrenheit. And
I'm just not
used to this. I'm on a fat bike, so I've got like 4.5-inch tires. And then, I mean, you know, people have been up here all winter, so I'm riding with them and I see people out there not even wearing gloves.
Well, it's a thing.
And I was like,
what?
I had my entire face covered.
I thought, don't your eyeballs freeze at that sort of temperature? I mean, minus 20, that's bonkers.
I was wearing like an expedition mountaineering jacket with goggles and a full face mask.
I feel so soft. Like
me too.
I was in Seattle, I was riding and it maybe was around 40 degrees, 35. And I didn't have gloves on. And I was like, man, this is dangerous. My hands are going to be permanently damaged. Like,
Oh, man. I'm just trying to acclimate because I'm racing the Iditarod next month. So that's like historically a dog mushing race. But for the past 20 years, they've had a biking version. So I'm up here because I have to get used to the cold and riding a fat bike to go do that. So I'm hoping it works.
Did you grow up like doing dog sledding and everything?
No.
Like that?
Oh. I wish. No, I didn't do that. I played soccer and basketball, but we We would follow the mushers. They were like our celebrities. They like before the race, they would do bios with like every musher's like picture and where they're from and a little backstory. And so then we would follow the race by calling a hotline. It was 248 mush. And then they'd be like, okay, DD John Rose in second place. And
what? Is that what it was? That's insane.
Like, who's where? And then, I mean, they take these dog sleds 1,000 miles to Nome. It's insane.
Wow.
1,000 miles further into the wilderness.
Yeah. It's overland because you can't travel this route. You can only travel in the winter when everything's frozen. So it's like over rivers and lakes and swamps and like mountain ranges. It's crazy. So then that's what I'm going to do on my bike.
I feel like this is starting to make sense why you're so gnarly. But before we get into your 2024 plans, I can't believe you only started really riding bikes when you were 20 years old. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, like I learned how to ride as a kid, but you know, just like down the street.
Yeah.
I didn't like know it was a sport. You know, in Alaska, it really wasn't. Like, I didn't know anybody that actually like raced bikes. And I never thought I would do that either. I thought, oh, it's what you do to like bike to your friend's house or get to work or whatever.
Right. What was the thing? Like, what was the catalyst to get you to start taking it seriously?
I mean, that took a really long time. So I started riding to get to work. I've never had a car, so getting a bike was like my first vehicle, and I was like, wow, this is so much faster than walking.
Yeah.
And so I started riding to work, and then I started riding like all over town. I was living in Tacoma, Washington, going to school, and then I wanted to go visit my sister in Seattle, and I was like, oh, what if I could bike there?
How far is that?
It's like maybe 80K.
Okay.
And I was like, that's impossible. You can't ride 80K.
Times have changed.
I mean, it's still, you make it seem so quaint, but that's not like a small ride for most people, even still.
No,
I mean, it's serious. I had like a fixed gear and I printed a stack of directions to get there.
MapQuest.
And then it was like the biggest deal to make it. I was like, I made it to her house. She like gives me a bowl of ice cream. I was like, wow. But that was kind of the trigger. This must have been like 15 years ago. And I was like, if I could ride to Seattle, I could ride across the country. Immediately, I thought that. And immediately, I wanted to do it. I was like, that's like how I want to travel, you know, kind of like hobo style, like carry a tent, you know, eat cans of soup or whatever. And so then like 2 months later, that's what I was doing. I was like, my first trip was down the East Coast of the U.S. It took like 2 months. I had no idea what I was doing. I was like, where do you camp for free? Because I didn't want to pay for anything. So then I'm like sneaking around, like camping in city parks and like figuring out what food I can buy and like, you know, carry on my bike. I think I had like a little stove. It was like a lot to learn. I was kind of scared, but it was so cool. But I thought it would be like one trip. I was like, okay, I'm going to do this and then I'll move on with my life. I'll go to medical school and become a doctor. And then I rode down the East Coast, stopped in Key West, Florida out of money, got a job as a bicycle taxi driver and saved enough money to like go on the next trip. And then it just became like this pattern of doing that where I just like ride and then end somewhere and find a job and then save money and go again. And that was for like 7 years, you know, but I mean, it was just like a mode of travel. And to be honest, I kind of like hated the bike.
Oh, you did?
So horrible.
Oh, you did?
I was like, it's a great way to carry stuff. And I was like, man, I don't even want this bike. I wish I was like on foot, but it doesn't make sense to like walk cross country. You know, it just takes too long and it's not as much, I don't know, walking on the road's boring. I guess you can hike trails. But it just made sense to have the bike. And then over time, it just became like breathing, you know, more and more normal to have this bike. And then finally, I'm like traveling and enter my first race. And then that's when it really clicked that I liked it, because it was like turning it into competition somehow was like, oh, this is exciting. This is fun. You know, instead of like, oh, I have to ride my bike.
Have you always been competitive? Like,
yeah, very. Yeah. Like, as a kid, I was such a poor sport. Not a poor sport, but, like, if I lost, I was, like, so disappointed for, like, hours. I'd be like, oh.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, in such a bad mood. And then I look back at that, and I'm like, what a waste of time. Nobody cares that you lost the soccer game, you know? It's like, move on. But I really, like, took it so seriously, you know?
I was guilty of that, as I can relate to that. Yeah,
you
know
probably
I mean?
Were like that, weren't
a little
you,
bit. Yeah. Crying after not winning a running race at primary school for about 3 days. Yeah, it's weird. But like you say, it means much more to you personally than it does anyone else. That's right.
Yeah, yeah, always.
Was it the sense of adventure that kind of, it feels like you started, like that bike was adventuring, you know? Is that something that's still with you now? Do you still love to adventure?
Yeah. I like when I don't know how it's going to go.
You do.
You
know, I'm
like, you start something that you're like, oh, this is like, it will actually take me at least 2 weeks to do this race. And then you're like, what's going to happen in 2 weeks? Like, you can't even get like a clear weather forecast. Like, who knows, you know? And then you're like, you can't plan everything out because it's not going to work out. Like, you don't know where you're going to make it every day. You don't know where you're going to sleep or, you know, what you're going to see along the way or who you're going to interact with. I like that because I'm like, well, let's just see what happens. And then especially if you're racing other people, they're just doing the same thing, you know? So I like that. I think it's fun.
That is, it's so wild that it's almost like everything in your life prepared you for what you do now. Like, I think most people would struggle, like myself, to just go on a whim and just kind of go for it. Did you, when you started racing, was it smaller bike races, or did you immediately say, oh, there's these endurance races that I can go, you know, across the country in?
Yeah, I mean, it was always like, I thought when I started, kind of the longer the better. Because like, I had more confidence in that. I was like, I can go like day after day and kind of deal with it. And then I just didn't know if I could ride fast enough for shorter stuff. So then I was like starting super long, like my first race in Israel and then back to the U.S., immediately racing down the Tour Divide. And I was like, that for me is like my bread and butter, like every day climbing mountains and then like sleeping on the side of the road and then going again. And then I started like trying stuff that would take like only one day. And I was like, ooh, that's a short one.
Oh my.
So, and then I thought, you know, let's just have some fun with it and try kind of everything that's in endurance, you know, whether it's like a really technical trail or like a road race or, you know, gravel or mountain. And then I started finding more of like my preferences within that, where I did something and I'm like, well, that one wasn't for me.
Go on, tell us which ones you didn't like.
Yeah, what was it?
I was like, well, I guess that was just 3 days.
Oh, right. Blimey.
You know, because that's the thing is like you start and then you're like, well, I don't want to quit. That's like the worst. That's like actually the like kind of worst thing that could happen out there is like something stops you from completing the ride. So I always try to get through it and some are more fun than others.
Yeah, I can see that. And, you know, you said that you ride, like, the Tour Divide, right? What that is that from, that's from Canada to Mexico, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
And is that a race? And is it a race where you have a start point, a finish point, and in the middle you kind of do whatever you want and sleep as little as you, is that how it is? Is that actually how it is?
Exactly. Yeah,
no,
that's it.
Why?
So it's Canada to Mexico, the continuous clock, and then, I mean, like this past year, I raced it and maybe like 200 people started. And it's
finished?
So funny because you're like ready, set, go. And then the finish line is the Mexican border. And then, you know, there's a set route, but that's kind of it. And then you can't, you know, you have to like find food and places to sleep along the way. Like, you know, and then whoever makes it to the end first wins. And that's the general style of these races.
Do you carry a tent? Do you carry food? Or is it like you say, you literally sort of sleep rough, and it sounds like you're foraging for food. It's not like that, is it?
Yeah, foraging at the gas station.
Is it like that? Is that how it is? You just stop over and buy some food and carry on.
Yeah, so the thing is, you can like use any resort or any businesses along the way. So like, you could stay in hotels, you can,
oh,
you know, you could go to a restaurant, you could do any of this stuff, but then you're like, okay, what's going to be the fastest? So, you know, like I found like I don't like to stop to eat generally, because then you like lose half an hour of riding. So I'll just like pack something to go, like pizza, and then eat it while I'm riding. And
pizza?
Yeah.
Pizza.
That's about the best you're going to get.
Oh my goodness me. No, why?
Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah, it's wacky, you know?
It is wacky.
Like, what happens like day 7? Because like, the fastest I've ever done it is like 15 and a half days. You're out there for so long. And then
over.
In the middle of the night, you see like wild animals and, you know, it's just, and then you're, you know, I sleep like 4 hours a night. So that's kind of not
enough. For 2 weeks, you sleep 4 hours a night. That's how you go through it with that physical effort in the day. Are you joking? I don't know how that's even humanly possible, to be quite honest.
You could totally do it.
Oh, no.
I can't wait to see you do it, actually.
I'm signed out on that one.
But don't you start like thinking about like, what would I do out there? You know, like imagining like you have like this gear on your bike and then like, how's it going to go?
So wait, yeah, take us through what the kit looks like. Like, what do you take?
Yeah.
Like, how do you prep? What goes on your bike?
Yeah. I mean, for me, like, my favorite prep is to ride to the start.
We heard that, right?
Yeah. Because then I get, like, this big ride adventure training before before the race. So, like, last year, I rode from Tucson, Arizona. Like, it ended up being, like, 6,000K.
What,
to
get to the start of the race?
Come on.
Yeah.
Are you joking?
Yeah, it was like maybe a little too much.
Wait, so you ride to the start, but how much time do you have in between when you get there and the start?
I think last year I had like 5 days.
Oh,
yeah, just to recover
so
from 6,000
miles,
right?
I took 5 days off and I was like, oh, thank God, you know, because I ended up riding, making more of a circuitous route than I had anticipated. Well, I just hit a lot of dead ends. There's a lot of snow in California last year and I was riding through California. So I kept like kind of getting blocked and then I'd have to reroute. I mean, it was all fun. But then I was like, wow, that was a lot of riding just to get there. And then I have to race, you know, like another 2,700 miles down. But I carry like a little bivy sack and a sleeping bag. Now I carry a little sleeping pad because I'm getting old. I have like a down jacket and a rain outfit and what else? Like a minimal bike tools and, you know, that's about it.
It sounds like it's pretty chill for you. Like I feel like most people would be like, okay, I carry exactly 2 ounces of this. And then
I want
10 grams of this. And it's
well,
not like
I
that.
I think it is like good for some people. There is like you could optimize all this stuff and some people really like that and it makes them feel secure. And I just think that's so, for me, so boring. I don't want to do that. You know, I'm like, I don't want to be thinking, okay, did I eat 300 calories this hour or whatever? I don't know. You're hungry. Just eat something. And maybe that's also like helps me because like then I don't worry about it if like things aren't going to plan because they don't. There's no way it's going to like work out. You know, you're going to be like, oh, I mean this. And then I, you know, inevitably I've made some pretty major mistakes. Like this past year, I ran out of food for like 10 hours.
Oh,
woo,
no food for 10 hours.
One.
And you had to move. You had to keep going for those 10 hours.
Yeah, because I had to like get to the next place to get something.
No way.
And that
way.
Was like bad. You know, like probably my biggest bonk ever.
What does that feel like? What is that a 10-hour bonk feel like?
I mean, I was like, as I'm riding, like stuff started getting weird. And then it was like pouring rain. I catch up with this other racer. We're going into like a small town in Montana. And his disc rotor was like making all kinds of noise because of the water, but in my head it was like the most beautiful music.
Why? Because you're...
Wow. Because I was so out of it. Like, I was so far gone mentally. I was like, wow, someone is playing beautiful music out of that bike, you know?
What?
And then I finally get to this store that's in this small town, and then it was closed. And I was like, oh, God. Like, then I have to ride, like, another, like, 40 miles over a mountain pass to the next place. And once I get there, it's going to be closed, too. There was, like, this really, like, this old guy outside the store, and I was like, I knew there was, like, a restaurant or a bar in town, and I was like, hey, is this bar still, like, open? And then he's like, sure is, Trixie's. And he just, like, points his finger down the road to where it was, and I was like, oh, thank God. You know, so then I go to the bar, and it's, like, full of people drinking.
What?
And, and I'm like, I order, like, two burgers. I order, like, all kinds of stuff. And I'm just, like, sitting there, like, probably, like, grinning.
Oh, my goodness.
It's just so gone. And then I finally, like, eat a burger. And then that's when it really hit. And, like, the whole room is spinning.
What?
Sound is going, like, kind of, like, in and out. Because I was just so, like, my body was just, like, messed up. But then I'm like, okay, you know, kind of get this feeling like, I got to get out of here. So then I put my rain outfit back on, pack all the food onto the bike, and then go out, and it's like a total lightning storm.
What?
And I had to, like, go from there the next 40 miles up and over a pass, you know, in this, like, crazy storm. I was like, this may be, like, one of the top weirdest experiences of my life.
Do you fear for your life quite regularly or not? Because this sounds actually like madness
to me. It was just wild, like, pouring water off the road. But, like, most of it's on dirt, so there's not a lot of traffic, which was for the best for this. Because it didn't feel too dangerous, like, with traffic. But I, like, finally get to the next town at, like, 3 in the morning, I think. And I stayed in a motel, and I was just like, woo. And then the next day, I, like, had... You know, I got in there, I took a shower, slept, and then my alarm clock didn't go off. Slept in. I was like, you know, you do all this stuff to save all this time, and then you're like, oh, shit. Like, I slept in, and I was like, well, I guess I missed a couple hours. You know, I slept till, like, 7 or something.
Oh,
and then, and then I had, like, the absolute best day of the whole race.
Did you?
I was like, I felt like a million bucks. I, like, passed, like, 10 guys. I was like, how is that even possible after, like, biggest bonk ever?
It's the lie-in. Like, it was the lie-in.
So,
yeah, right.
I mean, I guess this is, like, the stuff I love is, like, you never know how your body's going to, like, respond. And then, like, when it can get good again, you know, after, like, having, like, just this totally grim day.
Oh. This
so
is
that was cool.
Wild.
Yeah.
This yeah,
is
I know.
So wild. And Lil, like, so I feel like the picture you've painted so far is you're just like, yeah, I'm just chilling, I'm out. But I want people to understand, like, how good you actually are. Like, Trans Am race, you in 2016, you won, and you had the fastest time out of everyone, like, beating all the dudes, all the women. Like, what was that? What was that like? Like, I don't even know. I don't understand.
That was totally insane. So yeah, Trans Am's 4,200 miles across the U.S. west to east, and it's all on road. It's this historic route from, like, the 70s, which is so cool. And so I go into this race, and I always set these, like, insane goals where I'm like, I'm going to win the race. I'm going to break the overall record. And, like, with, like, I don't even know why I felt like I could do any of that. I, like, had hardly ridden road at all. You know, I was like, it's on road, it'll be easy. And then I was like, this is not easy. Like, wow, you really have to push the pedals, and it hurts more because you don't move around as much. You're just, like, locked into this position on the bike.
Sure.
So I start the race, and I had ridden down from Alaska again to the start of this race, which was super fun.
Of course.
Goodness.
I start the race, and I'm like, I'm about in, like, fifth place. But they're like, the top two are like 150 miles ahead of me. It's like, what is going on? Like, I felt like such a loser. I think, like, 80 of us started, and I was like, I'm going to win. And And then I'm like way far back, but they were like from the start, like not sleeping at all. They're just like racing each other across the country, maybe sleeping for an hour, like cat naps. And I was like sleeping, you know, 5 hours a night. But I was just like, man, I gotta like, I just have to keep doing what I'm doing, try as hard as I can, and see what happens. And so I'm like gaining on them. And then finally I like passed like second place in like Colorado. And then there's like one guy out front. And then through Kansas, he's like, realized like she's coming for me.
He just really doesn't want you to beat him.
Hunting this guy down. I'm like, I'm going to get him. You know, but we're like 1 week into the race. The end of it, it took me like 18 days.
Whoa.
But then I'm like, you never know what's the, it's kind of nice to be in that position. You're like chasing somebody. You know, so finally I catch this guy the last night, like
no way,
130 miles to the finish or something.
He was crushed, I'd imagine, to be caught that close to the end.
He asked me if we could finish together.
No way. You're like, of course we can.
What? I was like, I've been chasing you for... I was like, no way, we're racing, you know? And then I, of course, get this, like, huge buzz, and I'm just, like, oh, like sprinting, and I still have, like, 130 miles to go. But I was like, this is my chance to, like, win this race. Then I'm like, I dropped him, and then I was like, oh, my God, I might actually win this race. And then it hit, like, you get, like, paranoid. Because you're, like, if you're winning, you're like, well... now I could lose it. But if you're in like second, you're just like driving towards like getting there. I was like, I kind of like felt bad for the guy. I was like, this is, he's been dealing with this for weeks. like scared to stop to pee because I might come get him.
Oh my. Oh my.
But it was like, I mean, I just couldn't believe it after all that. Like, God, it was just so hard. And you know, you're out there for, I was out there for so long, it felt like it was never going to end. And then, I couldn't believe it. And then that also is like, it makes it fun. You're like actually racing to the finish instead of like, okay, I got to ride another like 200 miles today to finish this thing. So that was a cool way to end. It was just like the whole race, it was a total heat wave. So hot that I was like, from the start, I was like, I'm going to lose my mind out here. It's, my brain's frying. My strategy was to like soak my entire body as often as I could. So I'd like jump into a creek with my shoes on. I was like, this is nuts.
I feel like you're like living the life that we all imagine, like, yeah, that seems, of course, that's what you would do. It seems hot, right? Like, let's go jump in a creek. And that actually works, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, you got to kind of think on the go and try to do whatever you think will keep you sane. But, you know, then I'm like, if I could see myself doing this stuff, I'd be like, that person is deranged.
Yeah, I mean, you said it. But not me.
But I'm like, how funny, like, you're like out there and you're like, I'm racing, but I'm like doing all this really wacky stuff.
Why? I can't.
Yeah,
why?
Then you're,
it's
like,
just
well,
mad to listen to it. Can't even understand it.
I love it.
Did you cut down on your sleep time then from 5 hours a night to try and get hold of him?
Yeah, like, I did. And so like the final three nights, I slept a total of 6 hours.
Come on. Wow. So you're not riding 22 hours a day on a bicycle. No way. That's mad. Are you for real?
I know.
I can't believe that.
You try to, you know, and that's the thing. It's like, you're like, well, the more efficient I can be, the more time on the bike, the better my average speed is over time.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, but then you also have to like, you know, go get water and food and, you know, do this. Like that race, my seat post broke.
Ideal. Oh, wow. Absolutely perfect.
In like Missouri. So then I'm like riding, standing up for like 50 miles to get to a bike shop to get a seat post. And I called them and I was like, hey, so I'm coming through. And I was like, I need a seat post. And they're like, well, you better hurry up because we're closing.
Oh, so, man.
Then I'm like, well, I, you know, like sprinting to get to this tiny bike shop. And then finally I get there and I was like, the guy was super nice and got like the cheapest seat post. And I was just so thrilled to like have a solution, you know. But stuff like that, you're like, oh, God, I got to like deal with this now. You know, stuff breaks.
I love the fact that, you know, normally when we talk to mountain bike athletes, it's like I had a problem on lap one or lap two.
Yeah,
here
yeah.
it's Missouri
yeah,
or
right.
a different
oh, yeah,
state.
Right. Yeah, I was over in just passing through Tennessee, you know how Tennessee is. Like.
Yeah, right?
And when you say hot, I mean, it is hot, right? It's like what?
Oh,
really,
it's
really?
So hot. Yeah.
Well, and you come from Alaska, so, you're not. Really
used
that,
to that. No way.
No.
And I like at the start of the race, like I wasn't even wearing sunscreen.
Oh,
and I just
man.
Got so sunburned. I was like
what?
Blistering. I had like a crack down my lip. I was like, at one point I got a flat tire and I stopped to fix it. And I was riding with this other guy at the time and this couple stopped and they were like, are you okay? Did you crash? And I was like, oh, no, I just got a flat tire. And then they were like to the guy, they're like, she said she didn't crash, but she looks like she did. And he was like, that's just what she looks like right now.
Oh,
that's so, there was a, what race were you doing? I was looking at your Instagram and you were posting updates and like, we were laughing because it's like, you look like progressively more cracked as the updates go on.
Last couple of shots,
yeah,
you're like Rambo.
I know, it's like day after day. And then it's so crazy. You know, yeah, it's so crazy.
Lil, what's the longest you've ridden without sleeping?
Ooh, I've done a couple of rides where it was like basically two nights.
So 48 hours without sleep or?
Yeah, like I did a time trial on the Arizona Trail and it was like 51 hours. And I closed my eyes for like 7 minutes.
Come on.
But I was just like, because I couldn't see straight anymore. So then I'm like meditating. And I was like, dear God, I hope this works. And then it did.
No way.
What, you mean you had a 7 minute meditation to reset? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and it worked.
What?
And I was like, oh, like, okay, I'm fine.
That's like when you get really tired and you're like, I'm going to sleep with one eye.
Yeah, the thing to think of, actually, before I did that, I was like, oh, okay, so maybe I'll just like flash my headlight in my face and it'll wake me up. And then it was like, it didn't wake me up. I'm just like blind.
What?
The stuff you'll try. Such a big mistake.
Oh my.
It's like now I just can't see anything and I'm still really tired.
What do you think about? Aww. Like what, like you're riding for so long, you have so much time like kind of by yourself. Like what's the mentally what goes on?
Oh man, I used to like just kind of let my mind go wild. And you know, I never got bored. I'd just be like kind of thinking about different stuff and then you're like, oh yeah, I'm riding. You know, like I kind of space out so hard that I forget what I'm doing. And then you like see something beautiful and you're like, oh, yeah, yeah, this is cool.
Is there a place where your mind goes? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Is there some gravity where you're like, oh, I like being in this headspace or this is an interesting problem or like a memory?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Mostly I'm like, I like it. Like, this is cool. I'm just like reflecting on something or I'm thinking about like something that happened 10 years ago or, you know, like. I feel like that time is mostly good. Mm. I mean, of course, there are like dark moments too, but they don't seem to last that long. And then, you know, I've kind of been doing it so long, I started like listening to audiobooks. And that's fun. You know, I'm like listening to like Lonesome Dove crossing Kyrgyzstan. And I'm like, this is cool.
Wow.
You know, like
wow.
kind of these like romantic novels or yeah. stories. Especially in the dark.
Yeah, you forget you go all night as well. Does the sleep
yeah.
deprivation, I mean, just does it start to get... How long is it before it starts to get weird? It must get weird. Your brain must start
oh, God.
To
especially
go crazy,
those,
right?
Especially like, those efforts that are like no sleep at all. Because like some of the... That's what's like tough about this. I've found like the shorter races, the stuff that's like 500, 700 miles,
yeah.
nobody sleeps.
Wow.
So then that's like part of the race is like you like have to stay up. And then I start And then, like, I find, like, I follow kind of patterns. I start, like, hallucinating.
You do?
Yeah. And they've gotten, like, way wilder. Like, in the start, I would just see, like, stuff kind of moving, like, rocks moving, where I'm, like, they're not actually moving, but I'm just seeing motion. Then it's, like, all these, like, objects turn into people.
What? And are you comfortable with
that?
You,
like, from afar, I'm like, okay, I like see, I'm like, is that like an old lady bent over? Then I get closer, I'm like, oh no, it's a bench.
Do you know it's a hallucination at the time? It's not a scary.
Yeah, I'm like, this
it's not scary
can't be
to
real.
You.
Or it's like trees look like animals with like antlers. And then this past summer, it got to the point where it was like really fantastic stuff. Like every rock was turning into like a beautiful sculpture. Where I was like museum worthy, and I was like, this is kind of cool.
What?
But I know, like, I know it's not real, but I'm like, wow, like, what a show, you know? And then, I mean, I know I need to sleep, but like, when I'm doing that, it's like not that painful. Like, I gotta sleep, my eyes are closing. It's more like, whoa, this is like a weird experience. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So
it takes a lot to make me speechless, but right now, I almost am. I'm trying to take it all in.
I want to get to. Huh? I want to get to some of the things that you're about to do. But one of the questions I really am fascinated by, as we've been talking, is like, what's the most like precarious position, or like the gnarliest position you've been in? Like, I was listening to you and Payson talk, and you were talking about like. You tried to find some water and the water ended up being bad or something like that. Like,
yeah,
can't be ideal.
Past year, I was racing the Tour Divide. I totally lost my voice. We had a really strong headwind with dust. And then like 2 days later, like, yeah, I got to a place I was supposed to have a spigot. There wasn't water there. There were like a couple gallons of water and like I drank some and then I woke up in the middle of the night, like throwing up on myself.
What?
And I was like, this is really bad. Like, I'm dehydrated already. I'm throwing up on myself. And I was like, and I'm in the middle of nowhere. Like, uh-oh. You know, and so then I'm like, I get up and I like slept a little bit longer because I was like, maybe it'll be better. I had like an electrolyte mix. So I drank it and then I threw that all up too.
Oh,
and I was like,
no.
Uh-oh. Like, this is really bad. I start riding again and I'm like, I've got like 40 miles to get to a town. So I get there and I was like, I gotta kind of make a plan. Like, you know, I'm like in a pretty bad shape. I realized there's like a clinic pretty close by. So I go there, I call them and see if I can get like an IV, like fluid. And they're like, yeah, we can get you in like 2 hours. So I do that. And then I'm like, okay, I mean, this stuff, you're like just trying stuff. Like, what's going to work? Is this going to help? Because you're always kind of balancing like, well, I'll try this. And then if I can't keep going, I'll have to quit at that time. So I try this, I leave the town in the night and then bike out like 20 miles up a pass and sleep. And I was like, thought, you know, okay, I'm better. I've got like 500 miles left of the Tour Divide to go. I can make it. And then like the next day I'm like throwing up again.
No.
Oh my God. This was so crazy. I'm like out of water doing like a really hard stretch. And then I'm like biking and there's like a fan, like a lady coming out for me and she had like a Gatorade, but I couldn't accept it. Cause I can't like accept anything.
Well, outside assistance is not allowed.
Right. So then I'm like,
so you're on death's door.
She's like, go, like trying to pass me Gatorade. I'm on like my deathbed. And I was like, I can't take that. I can't take that.
Man.
She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And then she like turns around like to go back to her car. And immediately when she turned around, I was just like biking, like threw up all down the side of my bike. And I was like, this is insane. Like, but I'm not going to stop pedaling. I'll just keep going. Like,
what?
As I'm like throwing up off the
what?
Side of my bike. And
how
then
did
I get
you do
to
that?
Like this kind of campground. They don't have water, but they like people were camping there. I found like a cooler and got like a Dr. Pepper. But that's sneaky too. Like, I like basically stole somebody's soda.
Goodness gracious me. Although it needs...
I mean, you know, yeah. So, yeah.
Needs must. Needs must. I think you. I think anyone would forgive you if they'd know what you would up against. You know,
is that the gnarliest? Surely that's the gnarliest thing that's happened.
I think back on it and I'm like, I feel like every ride has like something crazy happen. You know, like I raced across France and like somebody crashed into me at mile 70 and wrecked my rear wheel. I had to ride with like a bad wheel the rest of, 1400 miles.
But that's not life threatening. We're sat here now and you're making light of it, but like, which is unbelievable to me to listen to. But at the time, like when you're in the middle of nowhere on your hands and knees being sick and there's no water in the water, like, do you fear for your life? You're exhausted, I guess. I mean, or is it actually completely fine with you? Because that's how it feels.
I think I'm like trying to like make it work. So I'm so focused on like, what can I do? Can I move forward?
God.
You know, but then, yeah, I mean like, my biggest problems have been like breathing. So I do have these thoughts like, what if I just stop breathing? You know, so but I feel like just trying to make like the best decisions I can with what I have. You know, like if I need to stop and sleep, I'll stop and sleep. Or if I need to like try to hitchhike off the route, I'll do that.
Yeah, yeah. You deal with it very much as it comes.
I'm not like looking for like this terrible experience, but I also like want to try to get through it if I can.
I'm so glad we had the first part of this conversation, because now I want to ask you about your attempt at riding around the world and setting the women's world record, because now I feel like, oh yeah, like obviously she's gonna set the world record, like
true, yeah, there's not much gonna stop you, that's for sure.
So like tell us about how that came about, like why you decided to do it, and just how long it takes and some of the rules, maybe.
Totally.
Like give us the whole picture.
What is around the world on a bicycle? I don't understand that.
There's it's like a Guinness Book of World Records cycling record around the world. So the basic rules are you have to ride at least 18,000 miles, riding either east or west. You have to cross two opposite sides of the globe. So for me, it'll be New Zealand and Spain. You have to ride the same bike. You have to take like commercial flights or transportation to get to different continents. And then it's a continuous clock. So once you start, everything you do until you finish counts.
And you only fly north, south, or backwards. Is that right?
Or you can fly, you could fly like over the Atlantic, you know.
Oh, gotcha.
And then just start again. So that's what I'll do. Like the first leg, I'll go Chicago to New York and then fly to Lisbon, Portugal, and then ride across Europe and Turkey to Georgia, and then fly from there to Thailand, and then down to Singapore, from there go to Australia, ride across Australia, New Zealand.
Wow. It's insane.
Yeah, so
are you joking?
Part of it is like making a route, and then everybody makes like their own route because like things change. So it's like the current record holder, like part of her route was across Russia, but I can't really do that right now. So I'm like, okay, I've got to be a little bit more creative about where I go. But you know, the thing is, it's like this stuff's not going to get any easier to do.
No.
It's like you know, politics and safety and climate change and all this stuff is like kind of like the barriers to like why, you know, this kind of adventure like world could, well, doesn't make sense. And then I'm like, well, I want to do it like the best I can. So working with that, and I've wanted to go after this. Actually, when I raced across the U.S., I got a new passport before I started, because I was like, what if this was like my start of around the world? But
like,
I mean, I was
just
a dreamer. I didn't have a plan. I didn't have any money.
Really?
You know, so, but I was like, how cool would that be? You know, and then I was like, I've been thinking about it since. So it's like, I've been thinking about it for 8 years. Like, that's something I'd like to do at some time, but it just never really made sense. So then like this summer, I could go for it.
Why now?
I guess I was, when I was riding to the start of the Tour Divide last spring, I was on road and I was just like out every day. And that's when it kind of hit me, like I'm just having so much fun just being out every day, kind of connecting the dots. And so I thought, I think next year I could go for it. You know, I kind of have like an open window. It's going to take the whole summer. And I think, you know, it's scary and hard, but I'm like, well, if I don't do it now, maybe I won't get a chance.
Well, yeah, it's true. I worked a bit. I did a thing with a fella who went with Mark Bowman, who, you know, I think he's the male world record holder at the moment, 80 days. And he said that his approach was something like 20 hours a day, and then he worked out the exact average speed that he would need. And then I think he matched his watt output to that or something. So is that your approach? It sounds to me like you might just be going for it a bit more.
Mark's, like, record is incredible.
It's bonkers, isn't it?
It's so wild.
Yeah,
it's like 78 days.
What it was?
That average miles per day, you know, it's just crazy. It's so good. The women's record Jenny Graham has at 124 days.
Whoa.
And then I'm like, okay, that I'm not sure what that averages out to, but my goal is 110, and then I have to ride like 163 miles a day. I'm like, that I could do, you know? So, yeah. And then, I mean, there's like room for different approach. So Mark's, it's like he's going for average speed, watts. He had like a vehicle support.
Yeah.
And he had everything dialed because it was also his like second attempt at it. He had like ridden it solo and then he came back and he's like, this is how you're going to get the best records.
So is it supported or like
you can do either. There's no difference in the record.
I see.
So they both count the same, which I'm fine with. I'm like, this for me is like a once in a lifetime experience. Like I'll carry my own stuff and kind of figure it out along the way. Because I think that sounds more fun.
So you won't have a support team with you? You're kind of doing it on your own?
No, I won't. Yeah, so what, I'll just be doing it myself.
So you're going to rock up at an airport on your bike and chuck it on the plane and carry on?
Exactly. Or to route to a bike shop and pack your bike and then get to the airport and then put it back together. You know, I mean, so the thing is, it's like, I feel like I want to do it on my own, but I also want... like I have this set route and a tracker and I want people to come out and ride with me.
Oh,
you know, because I'm like riding like
Oh, that's super cool.
For me, it's like this could be fun. Like it's kind of like a party on the bike. Like people can come for like 10 miles and then they peel off or like I see people along the way. I think like there's like I'm riding around the world. I'm not doing this to be alone.
Right.
You know, I'm doing it because I want to see these places and meet people and like, yeah, I want to break a record, but I feel like there's so much like richness to this, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. Are you going to publish your route for it so people can see?
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. I'll publish my route and then, you know, kind of have an open invite for people to come. And I think, yeah. I mean, like I have to stay on the bike, but like if I can have like somebody ride next to me and have a conversation or it's cool, you know? And then it's also like, maybe like the first time people think of like these adventures being possible and then they're like they see what I'm doing and then they want to go do their own thing and I feel like that's like maybe the best part of it.
Do you think you actually want people to chat to you while you're trying to break a world record around the world? I think it would annoy people coming up the side. All right, how you doing? I don't even know how you can
That's like some of the fun. That's like the unexpected parts of it, you know? Yeah, like you never know who's going to like pop up.
You're not worried it'll slow you down though?
Like it will for sure.
Yeah, but you don't mind that. It's as much about that as everything else.
I think I'll have plenty of time alone too.
Yeah you're probably right.
You know, like most of the hours I'll be by myself, but then I go through a town and there's like somebody there and it kind of mixes it up. I know I don't think it's the fastest, but also like there's so many things that kind of slow you down along the way, so it's like as long as I'm making forward progress, that's good, you know? And I don't want to obsess over watts or speed or any of this stuff. I mean, that kind of feels like it would take away from the overall experience of just being out there. And like, yeah, I mean, they got to keep up.
Yeah, that's
which
right.
I think is going to be pretty tough.
I got a feeling too.
You know, I think I'm going to be pretty tired. Yeah. So, you know, they can work hard for 10 miles and then I'll just keep going.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, I think that's like the fun of it for me is not making too many plans and just like have her out. Like probably the logistical things that are, you know, I've got to take care of the bike. I've got to book the flights. You know, and that kind of stuff. And then the rest of it would just like see what ends up happening. Carrie like sleep stuff. So I can sleep out. I could also stay in hotels and then just see how it goes.
Wow. What an approach.
Is there? I know. I'm like, I'm loving it. You're like inspiring me to like, yeah, I just want to. Yeah, I've always had this dream of like taking my road bike to Italy and then like riding and then hopping on the train, just like taking a backpack. Yeah.
Totally.
It's like the little mini version of Lael. Is there anything that you think about doing like other than this record where you're like, oh, I would love to do that. I haven't done that yet. Or
yeah, totally. I mean, I'd love to take a road bike to Italy and take the train. That's fun. You know, that kind of stuff. You're like, that's so dreamy. And then like connecting places in different ways.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, and you're like, am I going to make this train or not? So you kind of have to like race to get there. And, you know, and then you're like stopping at a bakery and that's fun. You know, I love trips like that. I mean, there are like a few, like I did a project a few years ago where I rode all of the roads in Alaska. Like I just took a map and any road I would just take it.
Wow.
And it wasn't a race and it was so much fun. And there are like 5,000 miles of roads in Alaska and it's a huge state. So it's like you ride 1,000 miles north to get to like the North Slope. But I didn't like, I loved that because I didn't like really plan beyond like, I'm going to take this week to do this. And then like, once I get up there, I'm like, I don't have to ride in both directions. So I'd like immediately start trying to hitchhike back. And then when I finished that in the summer, I'd like work for 2 weeks at a bike shop and then go ride and come back and forth. But while I was doing that, I rode and hit the Yukon River at a couple points. It's this huge river across the state. And I've always wanted to go back and bike with a pack raft and then bike to the river and bike on the boat and then like the river to the next point and then ride back. Just because I haven't done really any like water trips, you know, so it's just like a different way to see the state. I mean,
definitely.
I've always wanted to race the Iditarod, so I'm doing that this year.
Is this your first time doing that then, is it?
Yeah, so I came up here last year to tour the route with my wife and a friend. So we rode the first 350 miles over a week and I loved it. I was like, wow, this is so much more beautiful than I thought, but you know, even preparing for that, I'm like, how do you like carry water so it doesn't freeze? You know, and like, what equipment do you need? You know, how does your stove work?
Yeah.
What sort of temperature will you be competing in then? Like average?
I mean, yeah, last year on the tour, it like was down to negative 20 Fahrenheit.
What's that? I didn't even know what that is in degrees.
Negative, I think it's probably like negative 30 Celsius.
What?
Yeah.
Something
you're joking.
Like that.
You can't go out
really
in that.
Cold. You can. Well, you can, but it's like,
what?
I mean, like I had the thing you like realize right away is like you want every inch of your skin covered.
Yeah.
Because you just like, even that cold, like touching your skin is just like bracing.
Yeah.
And then you have it covered, but I swear I would think, I don't have it covered because it would just feel so cold. So I had like, you know, my whole face covered. And then like just from breathing, I'd have like this icicle beard.
Lael, have you had any other kind of like memorable adventures in your life, like off the bike? Maybe not even hiking. Like what is some of the more adventurous stuff that you've done in your life that is like not biking or hiking related?
That's a great question. I mean, I went through like a little spell of like wanting to hitchhike.
But it's kind of boring.
You know, I was trying to hitchhike to a stayed over with the friend in college. And I mean, we had fun, but you're literally standing on the side of the road wondering if someone's going to pick you up. You know, you could be out there for hours. And then we get a ride with the guy and he gives us a couple of jackets. He has it as a leather jacket and a fur jacket. And then this stuff cracks me up. If you had a snapshot of how things changed along the way,
right,
so now we're in leather jackets and we're hitchhiking again. We're on an interstate or close to an interstate, but we're hitchhiking's not allowed on the interstate. And this cop pulls over and he's hey, just go up on the interstate and stand in front of the no hitchhiking sign. And this stuff just cracks me up. A lady in a bus pulled over and she's like, get in. Oh. I mean, I liked that too, but I was it's better to have a bike. You can always hitchhike with a bike.
Sure, of course.
But it's you feel it's kind of lame to just stand on the side of the road. But I do like waiting to see who's going to get you.
That is amazing.
That, isn't it? Huh?
Yeah.
Your approach to life is inspiring. It is. It's unbelievable.
We had this conversation with Annemiek van Vleuten, and it was really interesting because she had this amazing mindset to win all of these races, and she just seems so chill. You guys remind me of each other.
Yeah. Definitely.
When you think about mindset and racing and things like that, are you deliberate about it? Do you think about your mindset when you're racing and really taking a deliberate approach to it, or is it kind of just all good?
I think I'm I gotta keep myself in a positive headspace.
Yeah.
Because that's how I'll do my best. You know, and then I've thought about, I think I've come to that point from going through these dark moments and then kind of spiraling in negativity earlier on when I was racing, where I'd be because you get out there and everything hurts. And then I'd start telling myself I'm not strong enough. I'm not good at this. Everybody else is doing better than me. And then no, they're not. You know? Everybody's out there feeling like this. So then I kind of realized if I'm I try different things, ask myself, am I doing my best? Am I trying my hardest? If the answer is yes, just let it go and keep plugging away at this effort until you feel better and you can go faster. And then those moments are so exciting and fun when you actually feel good. You're so high, you know, it's just such a blast. But then the darkness will come back, but then I just try to live with it and be okay, it's fine. I'm doing my best. You know, everything hurts, but in an hour I'll probably feel a little better, and that always works. This stuff's not going to last forever. We'll come out the other side of it. So I do think about that stuff because especially if I know I'm going to be out there for so much longer, you know, that could really get you down. You're I'm going to be in this much pain for, you know, another
100 hours.
I can't live with that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
I feel like you probably see athletes at their lowest moments. What is the biggest mistake do you think that people make mentally when they're trying to do this stuff?
I think people maybe hold on to their mistakes too much, where it's everybody makes a mistake. You make a wrong turn, or you don't have the equipment you need, or, you know, something happens that you're oh, I should have done this. And then drilling that into yourself, obsessing over that, because it's well, 10 hours later, does it matter? What are you doing next?
You can't change it, right?
You got to let it go, you know? And I think that's hard to live with, especially if you're dealing with this much sleep deprivation and then you lose another hour because you went the wrong way.
Right, right.
You got to let it go and be all right, I lost the hour. I'll make it up later maybe, or I just have to keep doing my best because everybody will make mistakes. It just happens. I think that's one. I think I guess this is one where I'm like, well, you can always quit later. You know, it's like, yay.
Oh,
if things are going wrong, yeah. like stop and sleep and then try again, you know, 5 hours later. And like, instead of like just quitting, because like you might regret that. Like, at least just give it a little more time. Like, what's the difference? If you're going to quit anyway, who cares if you lost 5 hours? You know, right. I think like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
It's like at some point, like, yeah, you want to win, but you also want to finish. And everybody else is dealing with this stuff too. So you really don't know how it's going to like shake out. You know, you don't know if the people that are in front of you are going to like have an injury or have a problem or lose time somehow. So you just have to kind of like focus on your own situation and like doing your best with what you have.
This has been so, so cool. It's so funny. I'm in a group chat with Maude Farrell and Amity Rockwell, and I was like, what should I ask Lael? And Amity was like, she's just lovely and perfect.
Yeah. Hard to argue with that.
Before we wrap up, I wanted to ask you about your initiative GRIT. It's a cycling yeah. program for mentoring girls in Anchorage. Can you tell us about the idea and what the program has kind of blossomed into?
Yeah. So this is, I started this program in 2017, and it's a mentorship program for girls to build up to like a final bike adventure, couple nights out. And I'm riding with like now 11 to 14 year olds that have never ridden more than like 5 miles. And by the end, they're riding like, you know, 30 miles a day, carrying their sleep kit.
Amazing.
And we started in Alaska, which was so cool. I picked the destination first. I'm like, they're going to ride from their school out to like a glacier. And then it's like, well, what do they need to do to be able to do that? Most of it's like time on the bike, but then it's also like figuring out like the skills just to be ready, like, you know, simple first aid and, I guess mindset of like, you know, how do you cover that distance and you just do it together. So it's all girls, women mentors. I started it because I was like, I would have loved to do this when I was 12. I didn't start riding till much later in life. And
right.
And it's fun, you know, kids like that age, they want to do something hard. They want to take on a big challenge and like, you know, learn about themselves and who they are and be independent. So I started in Alaska. A friend of mine's taken over the program up here, and then I'm doing a second one in Arizona. So it's I mean, the Arizona one, it's a bit easier because it's like sunny and
not minus 35.
Minus 35. Yeah.
What is the when you? It's funny that you say like kids love hard things. I feel like so many people are like, what? Like kids. Kids nowadays, like the playing video games and things like yeah. that. Like, what is the, yeah. what do you feel like? Why do you say that? Like, what is the key to getting kids to love hard things, do you think?
I think like being really open with kids about like the final goal is we're going to do this big thing. Mm. And they're excited to go camping. Cause yeah. like yeah. most of the kids I work with, it's like low income families. Like they've never gone camping. And then I'm like, how cool is it that you carry like a sleeping bag and sleep out under the stars?
Right.
And then, you know, I bribe them with snacks and treats. That worked. Like, you guys, okay, we have to go like and like 5 miles and we're going to stop for ice cream or get this or that. Like, I really spoil them. But why not?
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Like, it's hard enough. Like,
yeah, sure.
If they have, that's the thing, if they have something to look forward to, they'll do it, you know? So then you're just like, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? And then you get to camp and I kind of let them go wild. Like, you guys can set up your stuff. You can do what you want as long as you're not like bothering anybody. Fine with me,
yeah.
you know? Cause that's like the fun thing as a kid, you're like running around. So I don't think there's like a lot of resistance. Sometimes they're like, how much longer? And then I just tell them, or I tell them how far we've gone. Like, you guys have already ridden like 7 miles. And then they're always like, you know, impressed with themselves. And I guess that's the main thing, is I want them to feel good about themselves doing something that's hard. And they could go fast. They could go as slow as they want. They can talk. I feel like the bike's like the perfect tool for kids to kind of like do their own thing.
It's the first, it's your first independence, isn't it, really, a bicycle?
Yeah,
it was for me.
Exactly.
It was for, you know what I mean? It's the first time you can go and do stuff on your own. You have taken it to quite a level, to be fair. You know.
It never really changes.
No,
you know?
You just do
like
it on
you're
a massive
still
scale.
Just pedaling. And then, like, for me to see these kids, like, totally, like, blown away that they rode, like, 20 miles. I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, and that there were, like, some low moments where they're, like, pushing their bikes. And I'm like, well, you just keep going and you'll get there.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, like, it's super cool to see that. And then they get so much better so quickly. Mm. It's, like, week to week, like, this just wild improvement. And, you know, I'm like, what is that about? Is that, like, just mentally they're able to, like, do it? Because like physically you can't change that much,
right?
No.
Yeah. Lael, I know that you're not, I can't imagine you retiring anytime soon, but have you ever thought about like what you want your legacy to be, like how you see yourself? Like you make such an impact in so many different areas of the sport in so many different ways and break so many different barriers. How do you kind of see yourself?
I mean, that's super kind for you to say that, because like for me, it's like I kind of forget about what I've already done and I'm always just looking towards like what am I doing now? So it feels like that other stuff never happened, which is kind of sad, you know, like all this effort and all these hard things. It's like, oh, yeah, that's like in the past. It's behind me. And now I'm like, what am I doing now? And, you know, so I don't think too much about like the past, but I would like to write a book about
I would love
you
that.
Need to
yeah you definitely
you know, some
should
of this stuff, because it's also like it's just fun, you know. Yeah. It's like fun to be out there and just see what happens, whether it's like in the heat of this race where I'm just dying, or it's like, you know, hitchhiking in Alaska on a four-wheeler or whatever, or in like a little plane, you know. It's just like I can't believe I've gotten to do all this stuff.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's like become a job. That's crazy. You know, I did this, was like riding like this for 10 years before I, you know, became a professional bike packer, and like the fact that even exists is so cool. So I just feel super grateful for the experiences. And I always think like, well, I'll just keep doing it while it's fun and I'm motivated and like this seems like exciting, because if I lose that, it's just too hard.
Yeah. What does bring you back? Is it you know, is it the adventure? Is it the riding the bike? Is it getting over the finish line? Is it, you know, the week after when you probably sit at home and fit where you might not.
It's like, that's when the race actually starts.
Yeah, but like, you know, that sense of accomplishment, you know, when you look back on something and it, you know, it the hardest things can sometimes feel the best afterwards. What on earth brings you back to this madness all the time?
Yeah, I know, because it's like, God, it hurts so much and now I'm lining up again. I think like from afar, I'm like looking at maps and I'm like looking where like routes go, and then just like really just dreaming about what that would be like to see that place and to ride through it and how fast could I do it and all this stuff. And then I think for the most part I keep doing it because I actually like enjoy most of it. Like I like being outside, I like riding, I'm like every day thinking about doing that. So then I'm like, oh, if I'm in a race, then I don't even have to think about it, I just have to wake up and go and pack up and keep going. And so I like that. I mean, like, yeah, I don't like the pain of it, but I do like that time outside and how so many things will happen in those days. Like each day could feel like a week.
Feeling,
you know,
alive.
Like,
living.
What do you do in your life that like you remember?
Yeah.
Like that's like kind of like presses into your memory. It's like daily life, you know, climbing Mount Lemmon every day. I don't remember all of those. But I do, like, I often do remember, like, a lot of the moments in the races, or, like, something new happens, and I'm like, wow, that was really cool. So I think that keeps me coming back, but then I'm like, I'm 37, and, you know, ride myself to death. So I'm like, I don't know how long I can keep doing it. I think I'll keep wanting to ride, but I don't know how long I can, like, perform at my best. So you know, you start thinking, well, it's like, well, do I want to race if I'm not like racing as well? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see how long it lasts. But it's been a good run.
Your mad adventures. You're never going to run out of places to ride your bike. That's for sure.
I don't think I'll ever get tired of that. You know, no. And it's like I've been doing this grip program and organizing women's rallies and that kind of stuff is super fun. And it's also become like the way I've like met people in my life is just by like adventure biking and like how much of like a community that's built for me and how encouraging that's become, like to see other people do it in their own way or to for them to like take on a challenge that they thought was impossible. Then I'm like, that's cool. You know, it's like it's cool to see people wanting to try hard stuff because they're like curious about it. I think that like just makes everything better.
Lil, maybe just the last question I want to ask, like probably selfishly, is what the balance between becoming a professional, like doing this thing that you really love, and then it is a job. And so like, how have you done that? Like, how have you been able to keep so much fun in it, been able to like have that adventure while it's still your job? And like, you don't always want to wake up and do your job every single day kind of thing.
Yeah. I think I'm not going to be like, if I'm not feeling excited or having fun, I'm not going to be like the version of myself that's good at this job. So then I think when I like look at that, I'm like, well, what's the solution is to just get out and ride my bike, you know, and like just start moving and then things will kind of come together. I get like every year I get extremely burnt out. Mm. I'm just like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like my head's like not right. And I think it's seasonal, you know, it's like it gets to like October, November in the year. And like, I'm ready to kind of like shut down. I just want to sleep. I'm like a bear. But then I've like, I've seen that pattern. I'm like, okay, that's somewhat normal. Like, how am I going to deal with that this year? And then I like get into the winter and then the spring, I have like this newfound like crazy energy to do it again. So I think the lesson for that is like, well, plan the hard stuff when you're feeling great. Mm-hmm. And then allow my body to like kind of come back to see if I want to do it again. But yeah, it's too much. But then it's like, well, what else would I be doing?
I love it.
I do. Absolutely unbelievable. Yeah, you're an incredible human being.
Incredible. Thank you so much for talking to us. This has been super cool.
That was amazing. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Great to talk with you too. And I hope it makes you want to go on some big bike trip.
Maybe.
Good luck with your record as well. Good luck with you around the world. That's going to be
following
that.
Sure.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that. Can you actually give us give the dates for people?
Oh, yeah. So I'm starting May 26th in Chicago.
Okay.
So I'm hoping to have like a kickoff party with SRAM. Then that's cool because it's like start and finish at the same spot.
No.
That's amazing. Then I'm hoping to finish, I think, like mid-September.
So it's cool.
The whole summer. Yeah.
Good luck with that. It's going to be an adventure.
Great luck.
we'll see you soon. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Lil. Thank you.
Watching. All right. Thank you so much.
Man, what a woman. Okay. So I didn't talk about it in the podcast, but I want to provide some context. So the Tour Divide is 1,000 kilometers longer than the Tour de France, and they finish a week faster than the men's Tour de France race. You know, it's
unreal.
It's over mountains, it's off road, there's no teammates, there's no support. So it's, I mean,
that really is mad.
You either take it for what you will. You have no sleep, you know, you're riding, like she said, like, yeah, I'm trying to ride for as long as I can, like 22 hours if she's only sleeping.
You know, what? Yeah, blah, blah. I can't even actually understand. When you speak to ultra endurance athletes, like, they are so different.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she was different again in that it was just so in her stride. It was like, it was just, this is just what she does.
Totally.
It was like, and she was so fun, so nice, so light.
Well, it was actually funny because the there was like this juxtaposition, like the way that she was saying it and the things that were coming out of her mouth, like, didn't make sense. It was like, and then I was just hallucinating, and then, you know, I drank some bad water and I was just throwing up, and
That's all part of, she's a life liver.
Yeah.
And, you know, she loves living her life.
Totally.
And that's when she probably feels most alive. That's how I took it. You know, who rides 2,000 miles to the start line?
That is actually wild.
You know, never like,
I don't even,
it's
like
a way of life to her.
Yeah, like I don't even ride to the start of a group ride.
No, you joking?
Yeah.
Good grief.
I love what he said about, like, you can always quit later.
Yes.
I thought that was a really, you know, it's just,
she's unbelievable. Like, mentally, she's actually, her approach is like nothing I've ever come across. Eye-opening, and probably why we like doing this podcast so much, right?
Well, it was funny. Like, you can tell how inspiring she is, because Dave from Red Bull Bike signed up for a 420K race during the podcast. He was sitting right there, and like, we get done with the podcast and he's like, I just signed up.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I think I can do it too.
Well, listening to her chat to us. Mad, isn't it? That's the influence. I mean, just an incredible woman, an incredible athlete, even though I'm not sure she'd call herself that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I can't wait to see her go for the Around the World Challenge. We're going to have to try to meet her out somewhere and like tag along.
Yeah,
or something.
We will.
That
I'd
would
love
be
to
really
do that,
cool.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
It'd be amazing. Yeah. No, good luck with that. And just keep on being an incredible human being.
Yeah. Well, all of you guys out there, make sure you are incredible human beings. But you're only incredible if you drop us a line.
Beautiful. I love how he's doing this.
Yeah, let us know what you think. I really want to hear somebody let us know that they went to ride with Lael. I think that would be so cool.
Yeah. Send us a video.
Yeah, send us a video.
See if you can keep up.
Totally. Yeah, like at some point, you'll be able to follow her little dot tracker and stuff like that. So if you do, make sure you let us know. podcast@redbull.com.
Yeah, because I would love to be able to report on it.
Yeah.
Through.
Totally.
On the podcast.
Totally.
And we can do that if we can get some videos, some news. So please do send that in. Yeah.
Socials, whatever it is. But.
And of course, there's a new episode of Just Ride every other Tuesday, available wherever you get your podcast. And if you want to watch the full-length episodes, just check out redbull.com or Red Bull TV.
All right. Well, good luck, Lael.
Yes, absolutely.